नरं चैव नरोत्तमाम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासाम् ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतिरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 6, Chapter entitled The Yadu Dynasty Retires to Prabhash, Text 19.
Vibhyas Tamamrita Katoda Vahas Trilokya Padavane Jasarita Samalani Hantum Anuswaram Sutibhir Angrijam Angasanges Tirthadavyam Suchida Suchisadas Ta Upashprishanti Vibhyastavamrita kathado vahistrilokya Padavaneja sarita samalani hantum Anuswaram srutibhir angrirjam angasanges Tirthadavyam suchisadasta upashprashanti Vibhyastavamrita kathoda vahistrilokya Padavaneja sarita samalani hantum Anuswaram shrutibhir angrijam angasanges Tirthadravyam tritadvayam suchisadastu apashprashanti Vibhyastavamrita kathoda vahistrilokya Padavaneja sarita samalani hantum Anuswaram sutibhir angrijam angasanges Tirthadvayam suchisadasta upashprashanti
Thank you.
Mataji's. Vibhyaya are able, tava, your, amrita, nectarine, katha, of the topics, udavaha, the water-bearing rivers, trilokya, of the three worlds, pad avane, from the bathing of your lotus feet, ja, born, Sarita, rivers, Samalani, all contamination, Hantum, to destroy, Anuswaram, consisting of the process of hearing from bona fide authority, Shruti Bhi, with the ears, Angri Jam, consisting of the holy rivers generated from your lotus feet. Anga Sangai, by direct physical contact. Tirtha Dvayam, these two kinds of holy places. Suchi Sada, those who are striving for purification. Te, your, Upash Prashanti, they approach to associate with. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The nectar-bearing river of discussions about you, and also the holy rivers generated from Buddha's feet, are able to destroy contamination within the three worlds. Those who are striving for purification with the holy narration of your glories, them from with their ears, and they associate with the holy rivers flowing from a lotus feet by physically bathing in them. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, Anuswaram Guror Ucha Charanam Anushruta Yante. One should hear from Krishna. One should hear about Krishna by hearing from the spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master describes the pastimes, potencies and incarnation of the personality of Godhead to his disciple. If the disciple is bona fide and if the spiritual master is bona fide and the disciple is sincere and obedient, then the communication between guru and disciple is just like nectar, both for guru and disciple. Ordinary persons cannot even imagine the special pleasure experienced by the devotees of the Lord. Such nectarine speaking and hearing destroys all contamination within the heart of a conditioned soul, the primary contamination being the desire to live without serving Krishna. The other nectar described here is Charanamrita, the nectarine waters that bathe the lotus feet, the Lord's feet. Lord Vamanadeva bathed his own lotus foot by kicking a hole in the universal covering so that the sacred Ganges water washed his toe and fell into the universe. The Yamuna river also washed Krishna's lotus feet when the Lord appeared on this planet 5,000 years ago. Krishna sported daily with his boyfriends and girlfriends in the Yamuna river, and consequently that river is also Charanamrit. One should therefore try to take bath in Ganges or Yamuna. Every morning in ISKCON temples, the lotus feet of deity of Krishna are bathed, and the water thus sanctified is also called Charanamrit, the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada taught his disciples and followers to come before the deities every morning and drink 3 drops of the Charanamrit from the deity's bathing. In all these ways, one can purify his heart and relish spiritual bliss. When one is fixed on the platform of spiritual bliss,
then one does not take another birth in the material world. In this verse, the word Suchi Sada is significant. One must engage in the purified activities of Krishna consciousness. One must learn to serve the Lord from the bona fide spiritual master, whose instructions one should accept without speculation. Those who are attached to the phantasmagoria of this world sometimes concoct their own whimsical concept of God. But only for the bona fide spiritual master we can get perfect and pure knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and devotional service to Him. Such knowledge may be found in all books of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Om Ajnan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Nami Hari Priye Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. As the age progresses, a lot of things are required to adjust. Hare Krishna. So very happy to be again having this blessed opportunity to speak on this beautiful verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. A very wonderful chapter about the Yadu dynasty retires to Prabhash, and we all know the background that the demigods are here in speaking to the Lord Dwarkadish, offering wonderful prayers, and the purpose of their coming is ultimately to tell the Lord that now your wonderful service is done. In the next seventh verse from now, they'll be telling the Lord as part of their glorification that whatever you needed to do is all accomplished. And now you can again ascend to your original abode. So here, the demigods who are not ordinary personalities, we all know that demigods are very, very elevated personalities. Many a times, the sad part is that because we have got the great fortune of worshipping Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the most evolved understanding of God as Krishna, and we have got the great fortune of worshipping Krishna, but sometimes the fortune makes us very arrogant. You know, when somebody is very fortunate for a good period of time, and if he is not very careful, that there could be traces or there could be not traceable lumps of of arrogance. If, for example, somebody is fortunate to really inherit great wealth from his father, it is just fortune. He has not worked on it. He just inherited the father's wealth. So it is, as far as he is concerned, it is his fortune that he was born the son of this person who was rich. But many a times that fortune is not seen as a fortune, but is seen as something that, well, I deserved it, and that the feeling of I deserved it gives rise to arrogance. And that's why you see a lot of arrogance with people who have some opulence. Many a times. More often than less. So many times, you know, we as devotees have been extremely fortunate, and we all know each other, asking each other internally, we all know that how fortunate we have been. We have not really done anything to really deserve to get what we are getting now. And because we are talking about the highest, obviously it is clearly mentioned that worship of demigods is not the highest. Krishna himself says, Kama Ayasta Asarita Gnana. So he says that those who are of low understanding, they go to the demigods, but actually, we should all worship Krishna. But that does not undermine the position of the demigods as far as we are concerned. From Krishna's perspective, they may be of lower, because they are our servants. But as far as we are concerned, we have 100% nothing, we should have nothing but 100% respect and gratitude and reverence for this very, very special personalities. And when this special personality is speaking, this is an exchange between Krishna and the most eloquent, intelligent personalities of the creation, the demigods. So this conversation is very special. So we should be really feeling so fortunate that we are in a position to really hear them. So with this background of giving utmost respect to the demigods, and because we have respect to demigods, we will have that much more respect to what they speak. If we don't respect a person, we will not respect what he speaks or what she speaks. It's natural. Okay. So first of all, before we really go forward, we should really understand how great and wonderful these demigods are. Lord Indra, Lord Brahma, Lord Varuna, you know, these are powerful personalities given very, very special responsibilities by Krishna to perform on a universal platform. And not just powerful managers, but deep, wonderful devotees of the Lord. Not just managers, but devotees. They're all devotees of the Lord. But sometimes mixed. So they are offering these prayers, and in these prayers, again, one of the most important principles, the root of Srimad Bhagavatam, the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, that principle is again repeated. And it gets repeated again and again and again. And what is this principle? The principle of the importance of hearing. And herein, because the demigods are natural poets, a devotee will naturally develop the art of poetry. Kavi Dakshamani, one of the 26 qualities, he's a kavi. So they're describing here that the nectar-bearing river of your discussion. What a beautiful description, right? It just clearly gives us a very, very wonderful understanding of what the narration of the Lord are. The nectar-bearing river. I'm sure we have all seen water-bearing rivers. And how pleasant they are. How wonderful it is to just take a dip in the crystal clear ambrosial waters of rivers that we have fortune of seeing. But just imagine if that river, instead of water, it has nectar. This flow, the gush of nectar. And as we will speak about the second part of this verse, actually all the holy rivers are actually nectar. Because as the second part they said, it is the nectar-bearing rivers. And also the physical rivers which are actually nectar, because they are washing your lotus feet. So they are charanamrit. They are also nectar. But we will discuss in the first half of our discussion today about the importance of what is mentioned here, the Sada Suchiha. The people, what is that? That is very significant in the purport. The Prabhupada's disciples say that this is a very significant verse, a word. Sada Suchihi. People who are wanting to get purified. Now, how will we want to get purified? The first thing is that we should understand the what is our present situation. What is the present situation of the material world? The de facto or rather the default setting of this material world is everything is in due course getting putrefied. If you do nothing, it is not that a pure thing will remain pure. But it will slowly but surely get putrefied. Anything you know, whether it is a fresh vegetable, a fresh fruit, or a crystal water, or for that matter, our own bodies. Anything. Anything. And we all know that, you know, something which is very, I mean, what is the quality of water which drops as rain? It is fresh, crystal clear. Right? The moment it touches the land, what happens to that water? You have seen the nalas, right? It's just the gush of, it becomes dirty. The moment something comes in touch with the material world, for a short period of time, or for a period of time, the quality is not, it is pure, it is putrefying. Interesting English word, purifying and putrefying, opposite words sound similar. The default setting, it is things are constantly putrefying. It is a great, great, great effort required to keep things pure, yes? I mean, you know, you have to have such elaborate arrangements of big, big refrigerators. I mean, if you just keep something, even for a day, a fresh milk from the cow, oh, it is fresh. But just for some time, it is just kept for a day. It is so stinking, you don't even do anything with it. And you have to make elaborate arrangements to keep it fresh. Isn't it? Whether it is a fruit or a vegetable which gets decayed, it is yuck smell. Horrible. It's just so disgusting. Because the tendency in this material world, my dear friends, it is constantly getting putrefied. Everything gets putrefied because that's the nature of this material world to make things putrefied. The things lose their freshness. So naturally, our consciousness is also going to be constantly getting putrefied if we do not do something about it on a constant, regular way. Because as we say, it's just the nature of this material world of things getting putrefied. We are in the International Society for Contaminated Consciousness. This whole world, if you want to describe. What is this world all about? It's the International Society for Contaminated Consciousness. It's the whole consciousness of everybody is putrefied, contaminated. 99% of the discussion, 99% of the interaction, 99% of whatever is happening in this world is causing contamination. Whether the news that you read, the what you see outside, the smell that you are smelling, is nothing but things which are getting putrefied. You are smelling them, you are hearing them. Sometimes you are tasting them. So what makes us feel that our consciousness will not get purified? It will not get putrefied. We as devotees, what are we trying to do? Or what are we supposed to do, rather? The only reason why we do what we do throughout our day, throughout our the months and years that we have been practicing Krishna consciousness, is only one thing. The purpose is to purify our consciousness. Yes? Is that not the ultimate purpose of our being in Krishna consciousness? To purify this damn contaminated consciousness that we have come with, which has been contaminated for ages?
And that's what we do, chanting Hare Krishna, having darshan of deities, is all an activity. But all this activity that we do is ultimately meant to purify our consciousness. But how often are we conscious that we are putrefied beings? That we are contaminated beings? Many times we are not even conscious. Because when we are conscious, we will act in a particular way. I was just remembering a situation. Many times when we go to a crematorium, right? And then obviously we know that it is a contaminated situation. And then we come to our respective homes or places that we stay. We know, I mean, at least I'm sure all of us are practicing as Vaishnavas, and as that we are not supposed to, we are just supposed to straight go and take a bath, because that is going to remove the contamination. We should not be touching anything, and we should not be doing anything. Everything, we change, Brahmanas, they change their Brahman thread. Everything is contaminated because we are in a contaminated situation. But why? Because we are so conscious that yes, we have been to a contaminated place, our activities becomes that much more conscious that yes, I should not be touching. I should not be doing things. Why? Because we are conscious of it. Isn't it? But are we to the same extent conscious every minute to minute? Because the fact is that we are very contaminated beings. Our mind, our speech, and everything is very, very contaminated, because that is nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. We are filled with abhadra things. Contaminated things are part of us. We are harboring all contaminated thoughts. And of course, I don't have to prove that we are contaminated people. We all know it. I mean, nobody has to prove it. Because we all know what we think when we are alone. We might be wonderful devotees when we are with people, and we are supposed to be that way. But the real challenge of our Krishna consciousness is what we think, what we do when we think we are alone. Or because I'm using the word when we think, because we are never alone. The super soul is always there. But we think we are alone. And what thoughts we harbor, what desires we harbor, what private desires, what private ambitions we all have, is all there. It is contaminating, my dear friends. That stink of that contaminated things which is lying in our heart is spreading in our actions. It's a stink. It's dirty, smelly. And that spreads. The stink of contaminated thing is not just localized. It spreads. And the more it gets putrefied, the more it spreads. Yes? And the more our heart is filled with abhadra, dirty things. And my dear friend, it's not just for this lifetime. It has been stinking, smelly for millions of lifetimes. It has been getting putrefied. Have you gone to a particular, say you go, I mean, sometimes you get time, you just observe the bandras, that sewage place. That is, the sewage is being there of all over Bombay, is being flowing there. And if you analyze it, sometimes I do analysis. I stop my car once and I was observing. And because you can't do it from the train, it just passes. But you have to stand and see. There's a huge canal of sewage. It used to be near my house. And you see there, and you observe it, there are layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of dirt. Dark, dirty substance. The layers of 1960, 1970, 1980, all the dirt which has been collected for the last, you can see those layers is there. And the together effort of those layers is that horrible stink and the disgusting appearance. But it's just open, it's just there, so we can see it. The problem is, our heart is not open. People don't see it, but we see it. Because the effect of that dirty heart is very clearly palpable. It's a medical word, right? Palpable. You can palpable. I mean, what is palpable? You can feel your pulse. It is not there, but you can feel it. Gaurang Priya Prabhu, right? Palpable is the word. Doctor, you say this is palpable. Palpable means you can feel it. But you can palpate. Yes, I can feel it. Yes, they palpate our abdomen. Yes, there is some swelling in the liver. You can't see it. You may have to go over sonography to see it. But a doctor can know, yes, there is something. So what they do is they palpate. So similarly, we clearly have a very clear palpable feeling that yes, there is dirt
in our heart. And that is why these demigods are saying, there is a need for purification, my dear friends. And many a times, we forget that we are putrefying living entities. Because it is one thing to purify, but it's another thing to constantly keep on purifying. Because as we said, you purify once doesn't mean that it's purified forever. It will again get decayed and get decomposed and get putrefied again. You need to constantly get purified more and more and more and more. So the two efforts required by a sadhaka, not only to purify your consciousness, but to also constantly keep that purified consciousness pure. And there's never an end to how much you can make your consciousness purified, because there's constantly small leakages of contamination coming. I mean, I'm using the word leakages in a very, very, the least affected way. For many of us, it might be all of hose pipes of contamination coming. But even if a person is a sincere sadhaka and is trying to avoid, but still there are leakages of contamination coming. What he sees, what he hears, what his desires are, it is still there. It is slowly getting leaked into our consciousness. We need to purify it, so that at end of the life, if we are not, I repeat, if we are not 100% pure, not even 99%, 100% pure, we don't have entry to the spiritual world. And when I say spiritual world, it's not that we're talking about a physical situation, but we will not achieve the lotus feet of Krishna. Will not achieve. Krishna is wanting 100% pure. So that is why Srila Prabhupada has given us from the International Society for Contaminated Consciousness. He has given us the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is consciousness that is very, very important. So much contamination. This I was speaking to Govind Prabhu just few minutes back. Just in the next 2 days, you know, we are going to have the year end and beginning of the next year. In one sense, from the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, it doesn't have any significance, zero significance. It doesn't mean anything. Let's not create a big hype about year end. It doesn't mean anything to us. But yes, for people, it's a big celebration. But how are they going to do it? I don't know the numbers. It will be known to you very soon. From some talks that are going to come. But there's gallons and gallons and liters of intoxication which will be consumed. Contamination through intoxication will be the slogan for 31st. So much. I mean, I don't know the numbers, some number that he quoted. Huge numbers of people who are going to get heavily intoxicated. And that's contamination. And that's how they're going to welcome the new year, with a contaminated, degraded, putrefied consciousness. And that's the situation of the world, my dear friends. And that's the place that we are staying. How can we think that we will not be affected? We will be affected if we are not regularly, and when I say regularly means every minute, getting inoculated from this contaminated situation that we are all staying. That is why these demigods are very, very kindly telling us how to really do that. We need to do that. So he says the two powerful ways is to hear Krishna Katha. Sinvithasva Katha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantasya Abhadrani. So many verses, first canto, second chapter, verses after verses. Nashta prayeshu, abhadreshu, nityam bhagavata sevaya, bhagavati ruttama shloke, bhakti bhavati naishtaki. So many verses telling us the importance of hearing Krishna Katha. And Srila, and it is what Srila Prabhupada said, that what does it mean to hear Krishna Katha? It is explained here. Vyavashyadvika buddhik ekeya kurunandana. And Prabhupada very, very wonderfully took the instruction or took the inspiration from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and said, what does it mean to be one-pointed in your determination? Is to hear and to make the instructions of your spiritual master as your life and soul.
To hear from the spiritual master, Guru Mukha, Padma Vakya, Chitita Koriyo, Akya, Arana Koriyo, Mane Asha. That is what will create the nectar in our hearts. So, when you talk about nectar, it will be interesting to learn something from personalities who are collecting nectar. This is something what is called biomimicry. What biomimicry really means is that the humans learned how to make a plane by seeing the birds. Similarly, we learned how to make a ship or a boat by seeing how fishes swim. So this is what is called biomimicking. That you learn something from some personality and you use it for your own benefit. Similarly, if we want to learn how to collect nectar, we need to really biomimic the bees. If you want to learn to fly, you do, because you can't fly, so you learn from the bird and you make a plane accordingly. And that's what they did. And that's why we have the plane. So what do we learn from the bees? The bees are wonderful personalities who are constantly seeking nectar. And here it is explained that Krishna Katha is nectar. So we as sadhakas, how we can be biomimicking the bees so that we can really collect this nectar will be interesting to discuss. So here, you know, we see for the next few minutes, we'll be just trying to learn from the bee. We have to learn. We are students everywhere. The child is the father of man, as we say. So we are always supposed to learn. And we can learn from every... We have this example of the 24 gurus in the Bhagavatam. 24 or 25? 24. 24 gurus, right? So 24 gurus where, you know, his guru was the elephant, his guru was the bees, his guru was the moth. Similarly, what do we learn from the bee? The first thing that we learn is that they always are looking for flower-bearing nectar and never ever found near filth and dirt. Always. Have you ever seen, ever, you shoot a photo and we will pay you $1 million for that, or ₹1 million, whatever. Shoot a photo where you find the bee hovering around. You might just fly over it, but not hovering over a dirt or a filth. Never. Because they are always seeking nectar and they always want to go where there is nectar. They are not bothered where there is filth. They don't really care. They're busy. Busy like the bee, as we say, right? Busy like the bee. They're busy searching for nectar, constantly going from flower to flower to flower. And obviously when they go from flower to flower to flower over different places, they must be passing places with filth and dirt. They don't really bother. They don't even look at it. They don't really make a judgment. Oh, it's so dirty. They are not bothered. They don't have time because they're just so busy collecting the nectar. Similarly, we as sadhakas, we should be constantly looking for the nectar of Krishna Katha. Where is the Krishna Katha going on? This is the place where I get Krishna understanding. Here is the place I will get Krishna inspiration. Here is the place I will get some more dedication to Krishna. I must go there. Book distribution. Oh yes, I will feel inspired to do this. So I must do this. Oh, I want to hear the Bhagavatam. Oh, I want to address the deities. Wherever we get inspiration for serving Krishna is what we need to do. And we need to ignore the places. Because as we do our services, we will pass through contaminated places. And contaminated people. And contaminated thoughts. But we don't give heed to it. They will come. We don't really give a heed to it. We should be, as we say, busy collecting nectar. If you want to get into Maya, you need to have time to get into Maya, right? If you don't have time, if you want to get into Maya, you need to have time. You need to have some time to get into Maya. But if you don't have time, where is the question of going to Maya? Because your whole time is consumed being Krishna, conscious. That's why it is said that we need to be busy serving Krishna 24 hours a day. 24 hours. Everything. So what is that word? Savai mana Krishna pada arvindayo, right? That he used, Amrish Maharaj used all his senses. Every senses. He was just so busy serving Krishna through all his senses and there was no maya. So that is the first thing, to be busy looking for nectar constantly and not getting diverted by the by the diversions of contamination, which we will come across. The second is they know where, this is very interesting. You know, so many times, you know, we have developed the perfection of developing an artificial flower which looks like a real flower. I mean, recently I saw champak flowers in the market. So they are completely artificial. They are made of some foam, but they look so real. So we may get little bewildered, or we might get a little confused. Oh, is this real? But have you ever seen a bee hovering over an artificial flower? Ever? I mean, not possible. It may look, but you will never. You put the flower next to it, artificial flower and a real flower, the bee will just go to the real flower. Right? Because the bee can identify where is the real nectar. And what is, which looks like nectar, which is not nectar. Which looks like something which will give me, but which is not. So sadhaka, many a times we'll come across situations which will look Krishna conscious, but it will be like a trap laid by Maya. Just like the elephant, you know, it just walks and boom. It attracts to the female elephant, and not knowing that it's a big pit, they cover it with grass. So he said it could be a trap in the form of a siddhantic understanding. Many, many years back, in the late 80s or early 90s, you know, somebody just told me, oh, you should go to this particular person. I was just 2 years or maybe 1.5 years old devotee. Just came to know who are the Goswamis, just came to know, you know, what is Gaudiya Sampradaya. And they said, oh, you should go to this person and you should, hear. And he speaks purely about from the Goswamis, from the Satsandarbhas and from the Goswami literatures and everything. So it looks beautifully like a beautiful real flower. Huh? But it was a complete Sahajyavad. Complete surge. Of course, luckily I didn't go. Yeah. So a sadhaka needs to be very sure of what is real flower and what appears to be a flower. That is what we learn from the bee. And that we can learn from proper association, from proper studies of the scriptures, of what to discern, to have the viveka buddhi, discriminatory intelligence, to discern of what is right and what is wrong. The second thing that we learn from the bee. The third thing is that when we see the bee, what feelings is the bee reflecting by its presence? When we see the bee, it mainly reflects the feeling of happiness. A bee is it permeates happiness, or rather it is symbolic of happiness, isn't it? A bee is just, like sometimes we talk about a donkey. And what a donkey symbolize? Stupidity, right? So everything symbolizes something. A donkey, a buffalo symbolizes laziness. Just sitting at one place. Right? So, I mean, you can connect to something. Similarly, what does the bee say? Symbolize? Activity, happiness. There is no room for doubts or complaints. And many a times we have seen, as we are sadhakas and we are trying to get the nectar, you know, one thing which we get trapped in many times is the tendency to constantly find faults and complain. And because of that, we lose our happiness. Because Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But many times we ask devotees, are you happy? They lose their happiness and we find what's going wrong. Why are devotees not happy? Because they just get into this whole network of finding faults and complaining. Oh, the guru has given a beautiful class. Oh, it's a great nectar. You must hear the nectar. But why was I not there for the class?
finding a fault. You understand what I'm saying? Is it more important to hear the class, however you get it, or to first figure out, why was I not there for the class? Why are people discriminating? Why are a small group of people are hearing? Yes, it might be, it could be a managerial discussion on that front, but let's not get bogged down by just managerial discussion, but let's focus on the essence. That yes, this is the nectar and I must imbibe it. But many times it's become a style to just complain, to just opine. And not only in the spirituals, I mean, this is everywhere. I mean, where we go across the world. Oh, the government should do this and government should do that. And why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? Just opinion giving. Just complaint finding. And because of that, I tell you, I've seen we are just losing the positivity in our Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is about being positive. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnash Purnamudachite Purnash Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. The Krishna is perfect and complete and all positive, and everything emanating from Krishna is all perfect, all positive. And if we are servants of Krishna, we should be positive people. We should be positive thinking people. But Maya systematically puts us in situations where we get into this whole network of complaining about things. Why things are not happening properly here and there. And it just becomes our second nature. And then we lose our core Krishna consciousness. The core Krishna consciousness is carry on with life. There's so much to achieve and so much less time. We don't have time to really waste on complaints. There's such a short time and a huge amount of anartha nivritti to be done. Right? How many years do we have and large quantities of anartha nivritti still to be done? Where's the time of complaining? Why waste time? If we all know that there's less time you have, will you just spend time in finding faults with things? No, you will not, right? We have seen. I say, karo, karo, charo, karo, charo. Let's carry on with work. If there's less time, okay, do it. Do it the best you can. Carry on. Let the work go on. Right? So another, it's a matter of disposition that we're talking about here. The disposition of the bee is just always positive, going from positivity. Just filled with positivity. And the devotee needs to also remember how to be positive, because no matter how much problems we have on one side, we have much, 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 much more to thank Krishna and be positive on the other side. The fact that we are Krishna's devotees, the fact that we have access to Srimad Bhagavatam, the fact that we have Sangha of so many wonderful devotees in the wonderful temple of ISKCON of worldwide, itself is a profuse enough reason which overpowers and overbalances the reason to complain. Yes, you may have reasons to complain. Nothing is perfect in this material world. And you are complaining, that means you are showing something which is obvious. nothing perfect, and by complaining what you are showing is showing the obvious thing. What's so great about it? If you show something is obvious, I mean, have you done something great? No. You have just done something which is obvious. Something is dirty and you point, this is dirty. Yes, it is dirty. It is obviously dirty. We can all see it is dirty. But you point fingers and waste time showing it is dirty. What's the big thing you've done? But in that negative environment where the world is, if you find something positive and you say, well, you know, Krishna is positive and let's focus on the positivity of life. That's nectar. Nectar means positive. Krishna Katha is should create positivity in our hearts. Should create more confidence. Should create more enthusiasm in our hearts. Utsaha, nishaya, dhairyas, tat tat karma pravartanat. Three things that Rupa Goswami says. Six things. Utsaha, nishaya, all positive things. But if you see the practice of Krishna consciousness is not creating positivity, then there's nothing wrong with the process of Krishna consciousness, but there's something wrong in the way you are performing your process of Krishna consciousness. It's a clear-cut sign that something is wrong. Because Krishna consciousness by nature, the practice, should create positivity. Should create positive feelings in our hearts and should create enthusiasm. If it is not, then don't blame
the externals, blame the internals. Because there's nothing else, nothing you can do with the externals. Even if it is true, what can you do about the externals? Nothing. But you can do something about the internals in your heart. And the last thing that we learn is the bees have a fantastic community living. Of course, there's a whole discussion we can do about what we can learn from the bees, the way they live in community. I mean, the bees are fantastic social beings. There's a whole section which we can spend another few hours discussing, just learning from the bee. Because I've been trying to focus on the bee for the last 1 month. So that's why a lot of... You know something? If there was no bees, this world would not be existing. You know that's a fact. Because if there were no bees, there would not be any plants. But there would not be any cross-pollination. So how even the insignificant bee is so important. This is just by the way. Yeah? And so much things to learn from the bee. And bee teaches us to be positive. Anyways, so there's a whole bee which is, they live in a community, they're all working towards community, they all work, and there's the queen bee. Of course, there's a whole different discussion, but how we can learn that by staying in the community, it is not easy. But they still live in a community with that thousands and thousands and thousands of bees, but they're all working towards collecting the nectar. And that should be community spirit. So, you know, what we should be understanding is, what should be the real hearing? The hearing should be very intense. It is nectar. But because if we don't have a proper background when we come to hear, we come with a negative spirit, we come with a very, very morose mood, then the nectar will not be tasted by us. But if we come with enthusiasm, we come with positivity, I say, I want to hear Krishna Katha today, then you will taste the nectar. Then that nectar will really give rise to wonderful fragrance in your Krishna consciousness. The fragrance of Krishna consciousness will be overflooding your existence and not the filth of contaminated, putrefying Maya. That's very important. And what is, of course, we don't have time, but how do we hear? Krishna Katha has been glorified here in the mood of King Kulashekhar. You all know the story, how he heard the Ramayana as if it is happening. And he got so excited, King Kulashekhar. They were narrating the Ramayana and he heard that Surpanka is there. And there's at Janasthan and there's a whole army of Kar and Dushan. He took his army and he was right in Srirangam. And he wanted to go all the way to Nasik to fight. And this happened millions of years ago. But he was just feeling that yes, this was his enthusiasm. The ministers had to create a whole plan of a whole army coming from the opposite side and say, well, Ram has won the war, there's no problem. Then he said, oh, Jai. Ram has won the war. Otherwise, he was going to go all the way to to Nasik and fight a war which was fought millions of years ago. And then they made a rule that don't tell any story which is sad in Ramayana. Tell all positive stories. Otherwise, the king gets excited because he hears with such enthusiasm, with such intensity. But one day, the reciters was not available. His son went. You know the story. And the son told the story about how Sita was kidnapped. And again, King Kulashekhar became excited. Oh, he went to the place. He was going to go to Sri Lanka and fight. And he actually went to the ocean. He took this sword and he went right in the ocean. And he was getting drowned in the ocean. And the people were thinking, my God, what do we do now? Can you imagine this personality's intensity? And that's why when that verse was spoken, that what is this famous verse? Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantham. That verse that Prabhupada so glorifies. That let the swarm of my mind be entangled in the network of your Kanthavarav Dhanavidav Smaradam Kuthaste. That was this intensity. That's why Prabhupada's favorite verse was that. But why? Because that was the quality of his hearing. And then he was right in the, only his sword was seen. In one sense it looks crazy. And the people also thought this king is crazy. But what happened? In his craziness, Lord Ram and Sita personally came, manifested in front of him, took him out. I said, the war is fought. Sita is back with me. Oh, jai. But Ram came personally to give him darshan. Isn't it worth to be crazy like him? Because Krishna comes to only crazy people. Either you be crazy like Jagai Madhai or you be crazy like Kalshuka. Otherwise Krishna doesn't come easily. Of course, I'm not telling all of us to be crazy. But the point that we need to learn from this is the intensity of hearing of King Kulashekhar, and we should bow at his lotus feet for teaching us this beautiful example of what it means to hear intensely. Because the Guru instructed that you should hear Ramayana every day. This is exactly what the Bhagavatam is telling us. Hearing Krishna Katha on the instruction of the spiritual master. This is the nectar-bearing river which can flow through our ears and enter into our hearts and purify the consciousness. Just like the Ganges. Finally, when Bhagirath was successful, it flowed down, and finally it covered the ashes. And for lifetimes, the ancestors of Bhagirath were in ashes form and they came to life. The Ganges, wherever she flows, it brings dead people to life. Similarly, our dead consciousness, our putrefied consciousness will come to life when the nectar of Krishna Katha will flow in our hearts. But for that, we should allow it to flow. And we should have the enthusiasm for it to allow it to be flowing. And the second thing of which the verse says, just give me 2 minutes, I'm really sorry for getting over time. The thing which is mentioned is the nectar of Krishna's Charanamrita. I said the devotees take shelter of these two things. Take shelter of Krishna's nectar in pastime through their ears, and take shelter of Krishna's Charanamrita, I mean the Ganges, or the Jamuna as explained in the beautiful purport. We take shelter by bathing. So, you know, I was just, with somebody, I was in the UK. And I was traveling, and there was one British person. I said, hey, what do you have in India? What you guys are very proud of? So of course, because what the world thinks the India has is poverty, dirt, snake charmers, all sorts of tantric things, and that's what is shown in all the videos and everything. So I said, I don't know. But none of what you have, what we have. We have the Ganges with us. Tere paas kya hai? You know the famous thing. Mere paas meri maa hai. Right? So we have our mother Ganges with nobody in the world has. Why? Because it's only flowing. Doesn't mean that we become proud Indians, but we become grateful Indians. We become grateful that yes, we have all the beautiful rivers which are Charanamrit of Krishna flowing in this land. And people from all over the world, they come to take shelter of this beautiful Charanamrit. We should be proud of that. And the least we can do is to not contaminate this holy rivers. Material contamination. Because if you see the budget that the government has allotted to cleansing these holy rivers because of our stupidity and not valuing these rivers, is 27,600 crores is required to clean something which gets contaminated. Because as we said originally in the beginning of the class, anything that is there in the material world, if we don't protect it, it will get contaminated. So let us be proud, let us be grateful to Krishna that we have access, and not really access, but have understanding of the glories of Krishna Katha and these nectarine rivers. We value them. Only by hearing we can value the rivers. Otherwise, these rivers appear to be ordinary. But when we enter the Ganges, we understand, oh, this is directly from washing the lotus feet of Vamanadev. Jamuna, this is directly Charanamrita of Krishna. Ganges is the same place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes and did all his feet wasn't washed. Right? So let us really value this and let us really understand the nectar. So much nectar is available to us, but let us be nectar seekers and let us not be poison distributors. In collecting nectar, let us not end up distributing poison of negativity of our own experiences, poison of negativity of our own anarthas in our heart, but let us distribute nectar. And let us help the world to be a more positive and a more happy place. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जगत गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी।